that you please help me for the next few moments as I attempt to preach your word, Lord. Thank you for everyone who came out tonight, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help tonight to be a fun night, Lord, when it comes to the fellowshipping and the eating and the fireworks and all that stuff, Lord. I pray you'd help everybody to have fun, everybody to enjoy themselves, Lord, everybody to have a festive time. But, Father, I pray you'd move in the next few moments. This is really the most important part of any service when we open God's Word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand a few things, open up a few things maybe we haven't thought about. And Lord, that you would receive the glory. We love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Alright, well, we're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And like we mentioned already, tonight is 4th of July and we're having a God Bless America type Sunday. Or I keep saying Sunday because we normally do it on Sunday. Wednesday or a Freedom Wednesday night service. And I really want to just talk and preach to you for a few moments on the subject of liberty. I don't know if you caught it there, but in verse number 17 of that chapter, the Bible says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And you know, I'd like you to understand tonight that liberty and freedom, like we talked about when we read the Declaration of Independence just a few moments ago, are given to us not by a constitution, although I love the Constitution, not by a Declaration of Independence written by men 200 some odd years ago, although we should, you know, love that and read that and understand that, but those rights and those freedoms and those liberties are given to us by God, Almighty God. And if you were to go tonight to nations across this world that don't acknowledge the God of the Bible as their God, I would submit to you that you would go to nations where liberty is very rarely seen, where freedoms are not seen. And the Bible tells us in verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." But I want you to understand, number one, I'd like you to understand tonight that this world and those who live in this world are not free. They do not have liberty. Now, they may assume they have liberty. They may think they may have liberty. Today, they may be celebrating their freedoms. And they may be saying, you know, I'm an American, so therefore I have liberties. But I'd like to tell you, forget about physical, political things. And I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. The people of this world, I'm talking about those who are unsaved. Those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They, tonight, are not free. They are in bondage. You say, well, why is that? Because the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, is what the Bible says. And when the Spirit of the Lord is missing, there is no liberty. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, let me explain and show you a few things. Go over to Galatians chapter number 4. You're there in 2 Corinthians. The very next book of the Bible is the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, next book of the Bible, Galatians. Chapter number 4. And we'll go ahead and just begin reading at verse number 1, Galatians 4:1. Now look, we got to do this fast because there's grilling and cake and all that stuff. I only got your attention for a few minutes, so let's do this quickly, alright? Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But if under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father," look at verse 3, "even so we, when we were children," and then the spiritual aspect here is talking about when you were not saved. He said, when you were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. According to the Bible, every single person who's not saved, every single person who's not a believer, every single person who's not a Christian, and I'm not talking about you go to church, or I'm not talking about you consider yourself a Christian. I'm talking about somebody who knows they're saved, somebody who could say, I know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that I'm on my way to heaven. It has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with how good of a person I am, has everything to do with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved me. That a person that does not have that testimony, according to the Bible, is under bondage. You're there in Galatians, going to Hebrews, chapter number 2. If you find all those T-books there, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, right after that you've got the small book of Philemon, one chapter, and then you've got the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And deliver them who through fear of death," look what it says, "were all their lifetime subject to bondage." According to the Bible, every single human being, their entire life is subject unto bondage. You say, what are you talking about? Go with me to John chapter number 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Fourth book in the New Testament, John chapter number 8. You say, how is it that we're all under bondage, or how is it that we're all do not have liberties or do not have freedom? Well, it's very simple, honestly. If you look at John chapter number 8 and you look at verse number 34, the Bible says, Jesus answereth them. Notice what he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, here's why the world is under bondage and does not have liberty today. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. See, the world today is not free. The world today is under bondage because the world today is under this three-letter word, sin. You're there in John chapter number 8, look at verse number 32. You say, well, how do you get out of that bondage? How do you get out from underneath that slavery? Well, in verse 32, the Bible says, very famous verse, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I like to emphasize that word, make. I'm not reading a New King James tonight or a New International Version tonight. It says make. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The new versions of the Bible say, set you free. You say, well, what's the big deal, Pastor? It's just one word, make and set. Look, it's actually a big deal. You know, I don't know if you understand this, but words mean things. And they, you know, the word set you free means you were a slave that was made free. But you have the ability, would you agree that someone who was a slave, and they were set free, I'm sorry, could have the ability of being made a slave again? But the Bible says, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. See, because the Bible teaches when you got saved, you became a new creature. You understand that? You got born again, a new man. It's not, God didn't take the old man and just set him free. God made a new man, and when he made that new man, he made that man free. Do you understand that? He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. You got to understand, we're talking about the Israelites in this time. Abraham was the patriarch there. Abraham was their father. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? They're looking at it in a governmental, political way. They're saying, we're not in bondage. And it's funny that they're saying this because at the time they're saying this, they're under bondage to the Roman Empire, you know. So they're kind of contradicting themselves either way. But they said, we're Abraham's seed. We weren't born in bondage. We're not under bondage. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. He said, look, you're in bondage because you're in bondage to sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Look at verse 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be freed indeed. So you say, well, how do I get freedom? Or how do I become free? Or how do I get real liberty? You get freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ. You get freedom through the truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's not a coincidence that later on the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Go with me to Romans. You're there in John. Go past the book of John to the book of Acts, then to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 6. Look at verse number 17. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 17. I'm saying all that to get to a point, but we'll get there here in a sec. Romans chapter number 6, look at verse 17. Romans 6, 17, the Bible says, but God be thanked that ye were the servant, notice what it says, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then set free. Is that what it says? Being then made free. Do you see how the Bible is very consistent? Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Go with me to Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 20. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 20. The Bible says in Romans 8:20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. They'll be delivered from the bondage, the slavery of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, what I'm trying to get you to understand tonight, and what I'm trying to teach you, is that it's actually a biblical doctrine, a biblical philosophy, which is this. You've got to understand this. People who are not saved are not able, no matter how much they try, to get themselves out of the bondage of sin. They're not able, a person who's not saved will never be able to stop sinning. Now look, Christians will never be able to stop sinning completely until they are dead or raptured in their glorified body. We understand that. But the Bible teaches us that the unsaved, They can't get victory over sin. They're in bondage. This is why I think it's ridiculous. All these churches, you know, today all across America, you find churches, and their primary, you know, thrust into the community, their outreach is trying to get people out of their, you know, alcoholism and their you know, their drug addiction and their this and their that, trying to help them with their marriages. Let me say something. Unsaved people don't need help with their marriages. You say they don't? No, they need to get saved. And then we can help them with their marriage. They don't have the power or the ability to get victory over sin until the Holy Spirit moves in. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. They're not able to get out of the bondage of sin. You say, well, Pastor, I think we ought to go over to Africa and build wells and build hospitals. And look, let me tell you something. What Africa needs and what America, you know, what we ought to do, we ought to do charitable things in America, and we ought to do this and do a 5K run and raise money for these people. And look, what this country needs to get real freedom is not charitable, political, health care, or whatever else you want to give them, welfare programs. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gives liberty. That's what gives freedom. That's what helps you get out of bondage. If you get the Spirit of God on your life. You say, well, how did I get that? You got to get saved because you shall know the truth shall make you free. The only people in this world, go with me to 2 Peter. The only people in this world who have the power to get under the bondage of sin is those who are saved. The liberty of the children of God, like we just read. And by the way, it's not because you're anything special, it's because God's special. It's not because of your power, it's because of God's power. Now look, you've got to understand a couple things. You're there in 2 Peter, chapter number 2. Look at verse number 19. See, today, the world... Let me tell you something. The world promises you freedom. You kids here today, teenagers, you go to school, and some peer, is going to offer you alcohol. And you're going to say, well, I don't think my parents would like me to do that. And they're going to say, man, you need to get freedom. You need to get liberty. You don't need to follow those rules. You know, they'll offer you alcohol. And when do most people start drinking? When they're teenagers. When do most people start, you know, doing drugs? When they're teenagers. You know, someone will offer you drugs. And you'll say, well, I'm not sure if I should do that. I don't think that's... And they'll say, look, man, you don't have to follow those rules. We got freedom. You know, remember the 60s? I don't remember the 60s, but you remember the 60s. We got freedom, free love, free drugs. It's great. Now here's the thing. You're there in 2 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse number 19. Bible says, notice what it says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. See, let me tell you something. Hey, teenager, when that, you know, teenager, your little friend, your little girlfriend, your little boyfriend, whatever it is, offers you that, you know, alcohol and says, here, have some freedom. You know that they're actually under bondage to that alcohol? And they say, here, liberty. But really, the Bible says, while they offer them liberty, they themselves are under corruption. Do you understand that there's no freedom in alcohol? Do you understand that? Today, you know, I think it's so funny that the world thinks the only way to have fun, the only way to do anything enjoyable is to open up alcohol and drink it. That's bondage, my friend. That's bondage when every night, when every weekend, when the only way you can ever, you know, you think, you know, you invite them to something like this, is there going to be alcohol? No. Well, I don't want to know that. You're in bondage. That's the problem. And today our world is in bondage to sin, to alcohol, to drugs, to pornography, and bondage to all sorts of different things, and bondage to not being able to control their emotions. And while they offer them liberty, they're under corruption. See, the world offers you false liberty. The world offers you false liberty because they can't offer you something they don't have. Someone in bondage cannot offer somebody freedom, but they can offer them bondage. Now, you say, well, Pastor, why are you saying all this? Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Those who have the power of the Holy Ghost have the power to come out of that bondage. Galatians, right after the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians. But you know what I think is... I'll use the word funny, but that's really not the right word. You know what I think is sad? It's not that the world is under addiction. That the world is under bondage. I don't think that's funny or sad. I think that's normal. It's normal for the world to not know how to raise children. It's normal for the world to not know how to be a good husband, or be a good wife, or be a good son, or be a good daughter. It's normal for the world to not understand work ethic. It's normal for the world to not understand care. It's normal for them, because they're in bondage. But you know who's not in bondage? You, if you're saved. But you know what's funny? Galatians chapter number 4, look at verse number 8. I know I'm doing this quickly. We got to get to the grilling. Galatians 4:8, look what it says. How be it then, when ye knew not God? He said, when you didn't know God before you were saved, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, verse 9, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, he says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? See, it's normal for the world to be in bondage to alcohol, but Christian friend, why are you in bondage to alcohol? Because you're the one that doesn't need to be. You're the one who has the power not to be. And today, the sad statement is this. Christians who have the Spirit of God, who have the power of God available to them, who have the Word of God available to them, allow themselves to voluntarily go back into bondage. You want to know why America's in the state it's in? Because of the unsaved believer. No, that's normal. We expect that from them. It's because the salt of the earth has lost its savor. It's because Christianity acts like the bondage. It's because those in liberty act like they're enslaved. You're there in Galatians chapter 4. Look at Galatians 5. Look at verse 1. So, well, what do we do? What do we do, Pastor? Look what it says. Verse 1. Stand ye. Or it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says, look, you've got liberty. And let me explain something to you about liberty. Because I don't think most people really understand liberty or freedom or really understand that concept. Liberty is not, you know, you talk to teenagers. I've got rights and I've got freedom. Look, liberty is not the right to do what you want to do. Say, well, what is liberty? Liberty is the right to do what you ought to do. That's what our founding fathers believed, by the way. You say, what are you talking about? We sang this today. We just sang this a little bit ago. Our fathers, God, my country, remember that song? Our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty. They understood where liberty came from. It came from God. To thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy night. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees. Sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake. Let all that breathe partake. Let rocks their silence break. The sound prolong. Let me read to you here another. Where was it? Good night. Wasn't the Star Spangled Banner? Wasn't that one? Let me see if I can find it. There's one that I was just seeing as we were reading, as we were singing it. What song did we sing tonight? 438. No, we didn't sing that. 435. There was one I really wanted to show you. I thought, man, that's amazing. Here it is. Oh, beautiful for pilgrims' feet whose sturm and passion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Notice this, confirm thy soul. Notice what it says. In self-control. See, they didn't think, well, liberty is just the right to do whatever you want. So everybody can, you don't have to control yourself. Nobody has to tell you what to do. You just do what you want. That's what freedom is. That's what today teaches you. They said, confirm thy soul in self-control by liberty and law. See, what you got to understand is that freedom. You said, well, I don't like religion. Here's what people say. I don't like religion. Because I don't like all those rules. But look, you're going to serve someone. No one goes through life not serving anyone. You either serve yourself or you serve God. You either serve the devil or you serve God. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible tells us there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can try to do it your way, but look, we just read it here in the bulletin. Your thoughts are not the same as his thoughts. And your ways are not the same as his ways. And when you try to do it, you will fail. Why? Because you're a slave in bondage. But God offers us liberty. That's why the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's why the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth shall make you free. Christians who are actually free from the control of sin often volunteer to go back into bondage. Remember the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? I know I got to tie in Exodus somehow, right? It's Wednesday night. Remember when they came out of Egypt and they were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years? They were in slavery for Egypt for 430 years and they came out of Egypt. Remember? They were whining and complaining and murmuring and chiding about what? Not having food. Remember that? Remember they started talking about, I remember all the cucumbers and garlic and all that good food back in Egypt. And what they say, somewhere in that time period, they said, let us make us a captain to return to Egypt. And you read that and think, why would you do that? You were a slave. And you want to go back? But that's what you and I do every day. When God says, I gave you freedom, I gave you liberty, I freed you from the bondage of sin, but you say, I want to live back in that bondage. See, you say, well, what does this have to do with it? Go with me to Isaiah. Well, we're almost done, I promise. if you know what that means. Isaiah chapter number 61. We'll do it quickly. Isaiah chapter number 61. Isaiah 61. You say, what's the point? Here's the point. This world needs the Lord Jesus Christ. This world needs God. Our job, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 61, look at verse 1, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach, notice what it says, good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the openings of the prison to them that are bound. God tells us that part of our job is to proclaim liberty to the captive. Go with me real quick to Luke chapter number 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter number 4. When the Lord Jesus Christ began His ministry, His earthly ministry, in Luke chapter number 4, it is recorded for us in verse number 18. Luke chapter number 4, in verse number 18, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, actually, well, let's begin reading at verse number 16, just so you see it. The Bible says, and He, talking about Jesus, came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, this was His custom, this was a pattern He had in His life. As His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Notice what He read. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ went to the synagogue, opened the Bible, and He read this verse as He began His earthly ministry, and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's our job, my friend. That's what we're supposed to... You say, I don't understand. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're almost done. Remember I told you that? Now we're actually almost done. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. If you open up your Bible in the book of... right smack down in the middle of the Bible, you're more than likely to fall in the book of Psalm. Psalm 119. Look at verse number 45. Psalm 119 and verse number 45. Psalm 119 and verse 45. Psalm 119 and verse 45. The Bible says, and I will walk at liberty. Notice the colon. The colon there lets us know that the next statement has to do with the last statement. He says, I will walk at liberty for, that word for there means because I seek thy precepts. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that this is the last service in the house. Amen. And we're moving on. And I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. We've talked about that already. But we're moving on to a new building in the next few days. And you say, what's the purpose of the building, Pastor? The purpose of the building is not... We're not getting a building because we want to be fancy. Although it's fancy. You ought to come see it. Sunday. Be there. 10. For coffee and donuts. 10:30. From the service office. This commercial has been brought to you by Verity Baptist. But... you know, we're moving on to this building. You say, well, what's the purpose of the building? The purpose of the building is this. To reach more people. To be able to reach more people. To give the gospel to more people. To help more people. Why? Because, see, what I already said to you was this. We're trying to bring liberty. And see, our world has this idea. Our world thinks, well, we spend, 20 years in Afghanistan or 20 years in Iraq and spend billions of dollars and send thousands
You know, common sense thinking, they should have lost that war. But you say, why did they win that war? I believe they won that war because they had this thought.
You know, they said, in God is our trust.
God.